Then I would like to welcome everyone to the October 18th regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Thank you. Mrs. McGlynn is not here, but Mrs. Savage in her place. Thank you for hosting us. So I would call the meeting to order and ask for a roll call.
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, if you will stand up and join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next, I would accept a motion to approve our agenda for tonight.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have an employee of the month, Ms. Wendy Grimm. So I would accept a motion to approve Wendy as the classified employee of the month for October 2018.
Absolutely.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Okay.
Second by Ms. Powers.
All right. You get to
come on up
here, Wendy. Wendy is now the guidance secretary at the high school. You were the office secretary at the high school, right?
Yes.
So congratulations,
Thank you, first of all.
It's my pleasure to be able to read the comments that your peers stated about you in order to get this award. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a long paragraph. Yeah, I should have edited it
before. No, you should have. You're right.
Wendy is new to our guidance office as the secretary at MHS. She came to us from our main office at the high school and has transitioned with ease. Her first 2 weeks with us were the busiest of the year, with students and parents impatient to change schedules. At times, students and parents can get downright angry with the long lines, but Wendy handled the start of the year with professionalism and a smile on her face, which doesn't surprise me at all. And she is picking up the responsibilities quickly. One responsible that is time-consuming and complicated at the beginning of the year is enrolling new students. MHS had over 50 new enrollees in the first 2 weeks of school. Many times new students come to our office with little or no paperwork. It is Wendy's task to track down the records from previous schools as well as send records for students leaving. She spent many hours after and before school staying on top of these tasks. Not having another secretary in our office did not allow Wendy to leave her desk for lunch in days leading up to the first days of school. Not complaining, she sat at her desk with her lunch, directing students and parents. We have since found a student to relieve her for her lunch.
Yay.
Wendy is kind. She's supportive. Wendy is a breath of fresh air in our office. We are happy to have her. Our building is better because she's in it. She's an asset to our district. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well-deserved recognition, that's for sure. So, can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and congratulations, and thank you again. All right, it's now time for presentations. Our first presentation of the evening is going to be by Mill Valley Elementary, Ms. Kathy Savage. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to Mill Valley. Okay, so this was kind of last minute. Mrs. McGlynn couldn't be here, so I'm going to try to do her justice and make her proud with this. So the first thing that we're going to talk about, we are developing a new partnership. Mrs. McGlynn and I met with Mrs. Ann Daniel, and she was going to try to be here tonight, but it doesn't look like she made it. She's the director of the Community and Seasoned Citizens group in Marysville. So we went and met with her, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about trying to establish a partnership where we really focused on intergenerational relationships and how important it is for our students today to respect people who have a history and who really, you know, have things in their lives that are important to them that they have no idea about. So we talked about possibly bringing a small group of this seasoned citizens, they prefer to be mm-hmm. called, to Mill Valley to maybe do, to teach the kids some square dancing, to look at maybe doing some, like, knitting groups and really having a purpose for those activities where once they learn to square dance, they can take that to maybe one of the nursing homes and present to them, or maybe knitting some caps for newborns at the hospitals, you know, different things like that. So we're mm-hmm. really hoping that this partnership brings some intergenerational friendships as well as partnerships between the school and between the citizens in Marysville. So that's a goal of ours. We are planning on starting in January, so we're really excited about it. They are super excited about it. And I think that our students will really, you know, appreciate and learn to value that, you know, we have people in our community that have different beliefs and different things that they appreciate and that they grew up with different things, and really respecting, you know, that we do different things, but that we can come together and have friendships and relationships and share those ideas. One of the other things that we talked about was just maybe inviting, once the students have worked with the seasoned citizens, inviting their parents to a community event so that there's actually like three generations of students, their own parents that come and see, and then the seasoned citizens. So we're really excited about getting that up and running.
I love it.
Any questions about that?
Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Yeah,
love it.
We're excited. Okay, so the main topic for tonight that we want to talk about, our district and our journey in personalized learning has focused on personal learner profiles, and I'm going to talk about how personal learner profiles are impacting the social and emotional aspect of learning at Mill Valley and also affecting the academic learning. So just in case you're not sure about a personal learner profile, here's a few facts. What we do is we give students an opportunity to tell us about who they are as a person, what their interests are, what their talents are, what they're passionate about. They get to tell us people who are influential in their lives, someone that has an impact on them at school. They get to talk about the ways that they learn best, whether they like to work alone or work with partners, work in a group, work with the teacher, those kinds of things. Personal learner profiles really give an insight to the teachers as to how the students, how each child in their classroom learns best. And it also allows for the students in the classroom together to understand how their peers learn best, and they can kind of support each other with that. So, on this continuum of an expert learner, personalized learning includes voice and choice and engaging students in their learning, motivating them. They have ownership over the things that they're learning in their classroom, and they know that because they're expressing those things through their PLP, their personal learner profile that they're completing. They also know their purpose for why they're here and what they're supposed to do, and they're self-regulating their learning in the classroom as well. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. The two impacts is the social and emotional learning and mastery learning, so how PLPs affect both of those items. In the spring of 2018, we had a survey, the HOPE survey was established, and the kids filled out. They were able to provide some voice and choice on how they felt at school. I think 5 is probably the best score that you can get on that, and so this is just evidence that shows that the students feel that teachers build on their strengths in their class, so they recognize that. They feel that there are students in the class who can help them if needed. So if they know that another student is an expert in technology and really confident with that, and they're struggling with something, they know that they can go to that student and get the support that they need. If they need help with math and they're not a strong math student, they know that there are students in their classroom that really feel that they excel in math and they're positive and they can support them with that. I'm excited about reaching my goals in this class, so that's evidence that shows that our students have set goals, they know what they're working towards, and they're excited about reaching those goals. These are just some pictures. Our second graders this year had identity projects. So to kind of kick off our PLPs, they completed their PLPs with their teacher. That's Mrs. White down in the corner there on the left. And then they were allowed to choose something that they were passionate about or interested in and present a project on just what their passion and interests are, which was pretty exciting. So you've got Skylar up there, and he's all about dinosaurs, every type of dinosaur you could imagine. So he presented a Google slide presentation and did some artwork that he talked about different specific dinosaurs. You have Coley, who is all about gymnastics, and so she was able to share what she's passionate about and what her goals are in gymnastics. We had a Lego PowerPoint, and then Mrs. White also presented what her passions, talents, and interests are and the ways that she learns best so that her students understand that she also is a learner in the classroom. Okay, so no significant learning occurs without significant relationships. The PLPs really help teachers and students grow their personal relationships. They allow teachers to just really know a student inside and out. You can see that in kindergarten, there's something that every student is good at, and they were able to voice that. You've got students that are working together doing collaborative team building projects. You have students that have dreams, and they're expressing what their dreams are and what they want to do when they grow up. And you also have students that are learning about each other and noticing their differences in the ways that they are similar as learners, which is pretty awesome. Am I going too fast? Okay. This is actually part of our personal learner profiles. We have a data housing system called Tableau, which, thanks to Mark Gallagher, he puts all of our information in there, and we are able to pull up at our fingertips a visual that shows teachers and students and parents what the main interests are in the classroom, what the talents are, what the passions are, so that they can hone in on those when they're planning instruction, which is the most important part about it. So this, and for their interest, the bigger the bubble, the more students were interested in that topic. So you've got, you've got video games and sports, you've got organizing, from anything that they could be interested in, kind of gives you a really good visual. A lot of our teachers have these hanging in their classroom so that they can kind of point out, like, if a student's looking for a particular book, hey, it looks like a lot of kids like this kind, you might want to try this. The second thing that we're working on with PLPs is kind of infusing that information in our instruction, and that teachers are using that PLP information when they're planning instruction for their students. We have four focuses this year at Mill Valley, so we're wanting to provide our students with lots of different attempts to show mastery. We are working on looking at our continuums and showing mastery of the standards that are on that continuum, so we're teaching and assessing those standards. We're using the PLPs to build in more stronger Tier 1 remediation. So as a student is showing us that they're not mastering something, we're remediating and trying to really get into, like, what are your interests, what are your talents, how can we connect what you're struggling with something that you're interested in to support them understanding mastery of something. And then evidence-driven formative feedback is a big part of that cycle. And the more that you know about your students, the easier it is to communicate and have conversations with them and tap into what they are all about. So focus on the learners and how they learn best is kind of what our goal is. And we're using Universal Design for Learning. The PLPs really help us understand how kids want to access information. So whether they prefer to learn by themselves or whether they prefer to work with a group and collaborate with others, engaging in the content that they're presented with. So that might be, maybe someone would prefer to watch a video and learn something versus listening to the teacher teach it. Or maybe they would prefer to do a computer program to learn something or practice something versus a paper pencil activity. So really just what ways can we engage them that's going to be interesting and motivating to them. And then the most exciting part is the expression part, because once we're instructing students and we want to see if they are understanding a standard or a learning target, we want to give them opportunities to express and show what they know and how they understand something. So this is getting really creative with their PLPs. Teachers are tapping into, you really are interested in art. So can you, do you want to try to create some kind of an artistic presentation that shows mastery of whatever, standard that they're working on? And all of this supports that whole idea of learner agency, where our students are learning for themselves, they're learning how to access information on their own, and really be independent and know where they're at and what they understand as far as the content that's being taught. So this is another piece of the Tableau. Once the PLP information is inputted, we get this nice bar graph that shows us the strengths of the students in a classroom and the academic needs of a student. So for this particular chart, you can kind of see that like technology is over there on the green on the left, that a lot of kids feel really excited and comfortable, and that technology is a strength for them. And in this day and age, it certainly is. And then that reading is something that they feel like they need to improve upon. So what we want to do with this information is tap into, okay, let's look at, during Reader's Workshop, maybe a blended approach that's going to support, that's going to make them interested. So they might be using something like a RAS Kids or an EPIC or something, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. But this data gives us information on how we can provide instruction so that students are motivated to access that information and really engaged in what they're doing in the classroom. So here's a few of the ideas for Reader's Workshop. We've had, luckily we have iReady as the district K-6, K-8. K-8. And we have Lexia that supports our K-1 students. We also have something that we're utilizing called EPIC, which kids are extremely excited about. So during Reader's Workshop, those students that love technology can access information in lots of different ways. And these blended learning opportunities really support them on their way to trying to master a standard. It gives lots of opportunities for them to go back and revisit things and learn information and practice it, improve it, all of those kinds of things. So these are just some of the charts that our teachers have in the classroom. Now that they know more about their learners, they're making the information visible so that the students in the classroom know what each other, how they learn best. And it's also a good reminder for teachers to kind of, you know, take a look at it and say, okay, I know that this student really, is hands-on. So I need to be thinking about a way that I can provide instruction that provides that opportunity for a hands-on experience, mm-hmm. along with something that's maybe auditory or visual as well, okay? And the whole idea is, you know, as teachers, we used to make decisions for our students. But the idea now is they're really awesome, and they can make decisions for themselves. And so that's what we want to encourage them to do, to know themselves well enough as a learner, and for our teachers to know them well enough as learners, to infuse that information and they're more independent and can access, engage, and express their knowledge. So professional development this year has been a huge focus on using the new continuums, the continuas that we have. And this just kind of gives you an idea of what mastery learning is all about and how our PLPs support this. So what we're doing is we're giving students an opportunity, we're giving them a pre-assessment, and we're trying to figure out where they fall in this whole learning process, because you've got students who still need to learn information. You've got students who really, they know a lot, but they just need some practice. You've got students who are ready to prove what they know. They already know it, and so you don't want to waste their time, you know, teaching them and practicing it if they don't need to. And then you've also got students who are ready to just apply it in different ways in that bigger picture of application, which is, you know, pretty awesome. So it's kind of, we're working with teachers to understand, like, you've got this group of students that are going to kind of fall in all different places. How can you provide instruction that supports all of those learners? So with the PLPs, we know, you know, how they like to learn best, so we're going to provide instruction that is blended so that they can access technology. They can do art projects. They can do different things to support them. And then we're going to provide ways for them to show what they know with apply it. So they're going to transfer their knowledge that they have of a standard to, a real-world situation or a project-based thing. So you've got all of these students who are moving flexibly and advancing flexibly, and our teachers are just, you know, trying to figure out the best way to support those needs so that students can show mastery when they're ready versus holding them back and not, you know, and them being bored or that kind of thing. So this is an iReady progress and reflection page, you've got students who are graphing the iReady lessons that they've passed, and they're also reflecting and having conversations with feedback from their teachers more than ever. That feedback piece is probably the most important, because when you have students that have gaps or don't understand something, if they don't get that immediate feedback, they're not going to be able to move forward. And so I think that that's really a big focus of what we're doing right now. We have different, you know, there's different modes of students learning. Some are using a technology-based program through Schoology where they have access to folders that have the resources that they need to achieve mastery in a standard. You've got students who are using, you've got teachers who are building instruction with like HyperDocs and Google Docs so that they have hyperlinks to the things that they need to get to so that they can work independently and access information and practice things independently, which is amazing. And it's all about student voice and choice. They get to choose the things that they are interested in and the ways that they learn best. Goal setting, we've got a lot of goal setting going on. We goal set with our personal learner profiles. I think that's probably one of the most important parts. Students that know themselves as learners, they know exactly what they need. You've got kindergartners. I know a lot of people think, gosh, kindergarten, they know what they're good at and they know what they're not good at, and they're probably the best ones to tell you. And so they are thinking of their strengths and weaknesses and really building a plan for them for how they're going to improve on their weaknesses, okay, and how they can use their strengths to help other people. Our last PD, our most current PD that we had at prime time, was unpacking the standards and really working with our students to find out what each learning target is all about so that when they're working and when teachers are planning instruction, teachers are planning instruction that support all of those critical skills that students need to have. So they might say, gosh, this child knows a lot about this standard, but there's just a couple of things that they need to work on. And so the student knows what those things are, the teachers know what those are, and it really supports the process of them flexibly advancing when they're ready. So we've got students that, this is actually a reading intervention class that has, all of the students are starting with main idea because they all need to learn it, but then as they move through, they're flexibly advancing, which is really, really awesome that you have a small group reading intervention specialist that's focusing on mastery with their intervention. And then here just shows some pictures. We've got students that are putting their picture on that they've mastered something or that they're working towards mastery, so they're aware. Like, I haven't mastered it yet, but it's okay because these are the things I'm doing to get there. And then you've got some students who say, gosh, I've got this. What's my next thing? Which is pretty exciting. And then together, every mind grows. So that's kind of the presentation. I know I sped through it. Do you guys have any questions? It's exciting. It's really exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. Questions?
So how does a kindergartner do the questionnaire? Like,
good question.
Like, if it's their first day of school, how do they know how they prefer to learn, or do not all of them do the questionnaire?
No, that's a great question. So second through fourth graders have the opportunity to fill it out through Schoology, which is very easy. They can, most of them can read, they can fill it out. K-1 teachers do a lot of tapping into what is a talent, what is an interest. They do read alouds, they talk, they have classroom conversations about it. And then the teachers sit with small groups or one-on-one, and they actually kind of do an interview with the student after they've taught them what those things are and what that looks like. They've done a lesson on what goal setting is so that the younger kids really have a good idea of what that is, and they can make those suggestions about themselves as learners. So it takes a little bit longer for K-1, and they don't input it into a computer. The teachers use spreadsheets and collect that information. So, yeah. And then the older kids, they do it in Schoology, and it's just PowerSchool. They do it in PowerSchool. Sorry.
Do they do it again the next year then? Like, do they?
It does. That information is housed, and it just follows them so that we have access to, over the years, what those learners, what their goals have been, who the people in their lives have influenced them. That's like my favorite question, because I'm no longer in the classroom, and so it's like, gosh, no one's ever going to put my name down. But there are students who, just me greeting them every single day at the front door, said that I have the biggest impact on them. And so, you know, if they're struggling with something, we can tap into that and say, hey, why don't you, you know, do you want to have lunch with Mrs. Savage or whoever their person is, that person that really makes them feel valued and, you know, so that information follows them, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good questions. Any other questions?
About how often do students go back and kind of update? Because I know my sons change their goals sometimes weekly.
Yeah, the opportunity is there for them to go back and change and update information. They do it once a year, so they fill out all of the sections of the PLP at various points in the year to get it complete, but they can go back and update their goals so that they're working on something different once they've met the goals that they initially put on there. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that, Mr. Gallagher? Okay.
Are they setting goals for each standard then in their PLP?
No. So they're setting usually an academic goal and a personal goal. Sometimes it involves whatever standard that they're working on, but a lot of times it's just a basic like reading goal, something that they've identified as a strength or weakness for that.
Response from the staff? Are they as excited, you think, as the students are sometimes?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell in the classrooms, like, these teachers just know their kids. I mean, it makes a world of difference to know if a student prefers to work alone or if they prefer to work in a group. Or maybe, like, you know, as a teacher, for me, if a student puts that they don't really like working with a teacher in a small group, that lets me be more aware of maybe they're nervous. Maybe they, you know, maybe they have some concerns about how they're feeling or, you know, it really,
right.
social, emotional support is there, and it really develops relationships when a kid feels like you know something important about them and you know what they're passionate and interested
right.
in, then they're going to have a stronger connection with you. So it is extremely awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Just a comment. I mean, I can remember a couple of years ago when we were first introduced to the idea of personalized learning and some of the base pillars and mind growth and so forth that were presented at that time. And your presentation tonight is another leap forward, moving us in that direction. And I know as kids stay in the school system as they go from one grade to another, the staff that we have in the future, as those kids come through, the kids' ability to be able to be self-motivated, to be able to articulate what's going on in their lives, I just think is I think learning's just going to explode in this district the longer we keep on this journey. I sit here and just marvel at it.
I agree. It's a big deal for them to come in here, to come through the doors and say, I'm valued enough that someone wants to know about me and know how I learn and I have a voice in who I am as a person. It's a big deal, and it makes all the difference in their learning.
And I know that all these tools are really helpful to the teachers. And all these tools create additional work, additional focus that the teachers need to apply in order to stay ahead of the kids. And we've said it before, we know our teachers are working incredibly hard, and they are an amazing group.
And our coaches too, right?
Yeah.
I know.
We all work together.
That's right. I had just jotted down at the very beginning when you had the survey, the HOPE survey, and that the difference between them being excited about their goals versus being excited about a goal that a teacher has for them.
Right.
You know, I think that's the key right there. It's just that ownership.
We've always understood the importance of knowing about our students, but it used to be teachers would send home a paper and the parents would fill out, tell me about your kid.
Right.
You know, and then the kid never knew. But now it's, hey, tell me about you. Who are you as a person? Who are you as a learner? And and even if they don't know how to do that at first, we show them and teach them. And if they're doing that in kindergarten and then again in first grade, think of the advocate that they're going to become by the time
they're in eighth grade
exactly.
for themselves as a person and what they, you know, what their beliefs are and their strengths. It's
right.
pretty amazing.
Right.
So.
Well, really appreciate you pinch hitting at the last minute here. So
I can breathe now.
Job. Yes.
Great. Great.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you, Kathy. Right, and our next presentation this evening is going to be from Mr. Gallagher. He's going to present on mental health resources for the district. Welcome, Mr. Gallagher.
Here, I'm going to try to share this to Kathy.
Okay.
So basically, as you know, one of my goals was really talking about mental health and keeping you guys up to date. And it was one of the concerns that you guys have had from different community meetings. So Mark has put together, has kind of taken the lead for community resources and connections and not only academic data tracking, but mental health data tracking for us. And so I asked him to come and share kind of where we are and what's been going on and some of our relationships that have developed over really the past couple years.
Great.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah. No, all for us. So thanks for having me this evening. And we're going to cover a couple different things as we go along here. We're going to talk about how we've started and instituted a universal screening process and diagnostic screening processes for behavioral and mental health difficulties here in this district. I'm going to talk about how we systematically work through that information to identify student needs. So how do we contextualize some of those things, and how do we make good decisions for kids based upon what they have going on? What interventions and programming have we gotten into place here to help support sound behavioral and mental health? And then I'm going to kind of wrap up by talking about our community partnerships. So I'm a firm believer that you can't go alone in these things. And so we've been very, very fortunate. We have some of our awesome people here. Carmen Irving and Holly Zweig, like that we'd be able to partner with to get some of these things off the ground. Okay, so we have started universally screening for behavioral and mental health risk here at Marysville Schools. We do this a couple times a year. We use a free and open source measure that allows us to, you know, identify students as high, moderate, or low risk for these for behavioral and mental health. And based upon where students fall on that screening measure, we're also able to do follow-up diagnostic screenings, okay? So we can really start engaging in root cause analysis, okay? So we know that from a global standpoint, the student and youth is at risk. Let's find out exactly what we have going on, okay? Because if it's, you know, a clinical difficulty, we want to engage those community partnerships to help support that youth and that family, right? And we've actually trained all of our 7th through 12th grade guidance staff, our school psychologists, and we've been very, very fortunate to partner in a kind of a public-public-private partnership with the Mental Health and Recovery Board of Union County, as well as Mary Haven Counseling Services, to have two mental health professionals provided to our district or in partnership with our district. And I'm going to talk more a little bit about that later, but they're able to help us with these diagnostic screens, so that's part of what they help us out. And then we, as kind of a follow-up, we work with our staff and we work with our families to try to help develop the plan that's going to be most effective or most appropriate for that student or that family in some cases. So kind of in the grand scheme of things, the school has positioned itself to help to act as a turnstile to give families and at-risk youth connected to resources within the community. Yeah.
What's a school navigator?
So I'll talk a little bit more about that, but those would be our mental health professionals that we've partnered with
Okay.
the Mental Health Recovery Board and Mary Haven Counseling Services.
So they're not staff in the school. Okay.
But they work with us very closely, which is great. So this is an example. I was out at Bunsell just recently of us actually working through that behavioral mental health data. So I was able to sit down with Mrs. Peck, the school psychologist out there, Joey Cotter, Mrs. Cotter, the guidance counselor for 8th grade, and then we had our school psychology intern, Jenny Literal, from the Iowa State University. We were able to actually sit down and systematically start working through team by team, grade level by grade level, identifying and beginning to scheme and address the needs of our students that are at risk for behavioral mental health. In their data room. There we go. Okay, so intervention and programming. So we've, over the last couple of years, began ramping up our implementation of the PACS Good Behavior Game. So Edgewood is a building that's been completely outfitted and trained. We just bought Raymond online at the end of the school year. We also have other groups of teachers throughout the district here in K-4. So we have a couple here at Mill Valley. We've got folks out in Navin. And then we also have folks out at Northwood as well. So we had a group go from Northwood too. So we're going to continue that implementation and training. Have been, and we've been very fortunate this year that we've expanded the Kernels for Life platform. I don't know if anyone here is familiar with the Kernels for Life. It's the basically the community-based variant of the PACS Good Behavior Game. We actually did an adaptation of that. We were able to partner with the Mental Health Recovery Board in the county, and we brought that training to Bunsell Middle School, Creekview, as well as our freshman staff at the high school, okay, so that they can start learning some of those evidence-based practices to help mitigate the likelihood of youth engaging in at-risk behavior. We've also built the infrastructure with our guidance counselors, school psychologists, speech-language pathologists, occupational therapists, the whole gang, to provide systematic, intensive behavioral mental health intervention right here in this district. Okay, so we have a menu of options available to us, everything from the zones of regulation to the coping CAP program for anxiety, taking action for depression, stop and think for developing self-regulation, very similar to the Zones of Regulation platform. We've been very fortunate to get our people trained in those interventions and programs. So we're able to, again, once we identify the needs of that youth, we're able to connect them with the most appropriate intervention right here at school. We're also able, through partnership with the Mental Health Recovery Board in Mary Haven, able to bring to life specific programs and curriculums, like the CAS program, the Boffin Life Skills program, which help reduce the likelihood of poor decision-making, building positive relationships with others, not engaging in illicit substance or alcohol abuse. Okay, so some of our most at-risk students, we're connecting with all of those programs right now in those specific curriculums, and they're able to be delivered, again, by folks from Mary Haven. So we have Michael Gary, he's one of their prevention folks from over there that we partner with on that. Our school navigators, like Janae Mulvane and Mackenzie Marquis also help with that. So we have a myriad of community people that are able to come in here and help us out with some of our most at-risk youth, so with those specific programs. And then we're also able to engage with our school navigators for case management. So for check-ins, things like that throughout the course of the school day, they can meet those kids wherever they're at. And sometimes we're able to even facilitate that right here at school for case management purposes. Okay, that's the fun part. So I got lots of pictures. Okay, so this is from our training just the other day out at Creekview Intermediate School. Karma, again, she's been kind enough with Catherine Tomino to come out on the road and do these Kernels for Life trainings with our, like again, our Creekview staff, our Bonsall Middle School staff. We even brought them in with our freshman teachers out at the high school. So we've been able to borrow them to help get some of these, again, evidence-based practices off the ground. So we're looking at this as like the big kid version of the PACS Good Behavior Game. So we're trying to developmentally scale things out to support our kids as they transition from an elementary school that does PACS to an intermediate school that can still continue to provide those evidence-based practices. This is out at Northwood. This is a co-taught zones of regulation group with Mrs. Field. She's an occupational therapist for us, as well as Brian Counts. He's an intervention specialist with us. And these students are specifically working on developing those good, healthy self-regulation skills, right? And Zones uses this really cool color continuum to identify what zone you're in. What is my body telling me? What are the expected and unexpected behaviors? So that's what these students are going through right now, is a lesson on like understanding like what are expected behaviors for a situation and what are unexpected behaviors for a situation. And it transitioned over to a student-led portion where the kids would actually, as part of that lesson, make it these hypothetical situations that they have to role-play and act out, and then as a group they have to identify what zone would this person be in? What would we expect them to be in? Right? So we can start working on those developmentally appropriate self-regulation skills. And this is them getting their homework assignment, right? So we do have, I have an air quotes, homework, where they're actually going to go out and look for situations where, you know, what are the expected behaviors for this situation? What are the unexpected behaviors? And then they're going to report back and share those when they come back together next week. So, a little bit of homework. This is is out of Creekview with Holly Weiss. She's a speech and language pathologist for us out there. And just as she's running a stop and think group with some older students, and they're hard at work working through their five-step problem-solving process. And as a highlight here, this is one student that they're working on the focus in step of that problem-solving process. And he's solving a very complex maze, and they have to learn how to slow down and take their time to work through that maze. Mm-hmm. So again, working on developing that self-regulation. I don't want to just hurry through something or just put an answer down. I really want to slow down and focus in and work through that process. This is from out of Navin with Dale Jennings. He's one of our new guidance counselors here in the district, running his own regulation group with a couple of second grade students out there. They're happy to be on camera. And then this is out at Raymond. This is a lunch bunch group that goes once per week with Miss Adrienne Darr. She's a speech language pathologist out there, and her intern from the Ohio State University. They're co-teaching this group together, again, working on developing those good self-regulation skills. And they're very early in the program, so they were just starting out introducing the concept of the colored system, right, and matching those emotions with those different kind of colored buckets. And then as another, does this have a laser pointer? They're also utilizing PACS out of Raymond, so I wanted to highlight that as well. So even our related service folks are getting involved in the PACS game, so to speak, and working on those skills as well from a core programming standpoint. Okay. So community partnerships. So we've been very, very blessed here to develop relationships with our mental health, local county mental health and recovery board, Mary Haven, and the Union County Family Council. Through the Mental Health and Recovery Board, you know, we work with extensively with Carmen Irving and Holly Zweizig and Catherine Tomino, and they help us in a myriad of ways, specifically the Colonels for Life training, so we provide those to the community, right? We actually have one coming up on the 25th, out at Raymond Elementary. They help with that, but they've also helped us, again, with Creekview, Bunsell Middle School, working with their high school staff. They were very, very kind. We're actually going to send a couple of folks to Zones of Regulation training from Creekview to go get the professional development on that. And then at the end of last school year, I was able to take a group where, really mid-year, I was able to take a group of guidance staff and school psychologists from 7th through 12th grade to get trained in the ESPRT process. So ESPRT stands for Screening, Brief Intervention, and Referral to Treatment, so that we internally can begin conducting some of those prescriptive diagnostic assessments to help drill down into the root cause analysis of what a young person has going on. The Mental Health Recovery Board has been wonderful in terms of cost sharing with us for PACSCA behavior game training. So we were actually even fortunate enough to get kits and training provided to us by the actual PACSIS Institute last time we went through a training. So they really like what we're trying to do here. So they've been great with working with us on Mary Haven. We work extensively with Katie Meeker, and she actually helps coordinate our school navigators, and that is Janae Mulvane and Mackenzie Marquist. Mackenzie is actually so she's been wonderful. Mackenzie helps with your school navigation services for kindergarten through 6th grade. Janae Mulvane helps support 7th through 12th grade. Okay, so we're able to kind of do a nice delineation that way, and they help from everything, like I said, from screenings to case management to brief intervention to referrals to treatment and even seeing some of our students as clients. Mary Haven also helps with providing intervention and curriculum. So just like I mentioned before, the CAS program, Boffin Life Skills, they're an invaluable resource for us. They also help with crisis response. So if we have a young person that is in crisis, whether they've made threats of harm to themselves or others, we do have an immediate linkage with Mary Haven in order to get supports from them. And then we work extensively with Jason King at the Union County Family Council. And kind of a new process that we've gotten off the ground is the community response team. This is preventative in nature, where we can help support youth and families that have immediate needs that we may be able to take care of very, very quickly. Okay, so before they fall into dire circumstances. But we also work extensively with Jason for service coordination and wraparound. Okay, so and we're able to help provide referrals and get families kind of connected with those supports as well. So the school is very, very uniquely positioned to help, again, like I mentioned earlier, get our families and our most at-risk youth connected to the resources that are available within this community. Okay. is all I have.
Questions.
Do you have any questions you would like to ask?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how's it going so far?
Good. Yeah.
With all that. It seems like a lot, but
but
I know there's also a lot of needs.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going very well right now. We have identified student needs. We're up and running with intervention groups. We're engaging with our school navigation services. We're continuing to provide core programming training to our staff. We're actually in the process of working out how we want to support our buildings that just went through the colonel's training as like a mid-year check to see how we can continue to support them moving forward and provide coaching for them. Because we want these things to be successful, because when our professionals are successful, our kids are going to be successful. Right? That's kind of our game plan. So right now, so far, so good.
And being the data geek that you are,
right.
Like what kinds of, do you have anything in place to kind of track or to just measure the impact of what we're doing, of what you're doing?
Oh, do I?
Oh, he was waiting for that question, right?
Wrong person.
Okay.
You just opened the box. So as part of our universal screening process, we daytime stamp all that information. So every time that we screen a child, we begin to extend that record. So we can see even over time, how are they doing?
Okay.
So like as we go get ready to go on screen here in December, I have an entire historic story on this youth, and the things get better or worse for them over time. And it's absolutely amazing when you can see things getting better. And you can be like, oh, it's because of all these core areas, like, oh, we got them connected with academic intervention, and that helped out with academics, but we also provided supports for behavior and mental health, and all these areas that were difficulties are getting better.
Okay.
Right, so we're able to see, again, those things in virtually real time.
Okay. And what's the ages that you're, when you say you screen, how many students are you screening?
Right.
What ages?
So we are universally screening all of our kindergarten through ninth grade students right now. We have not extended into 10 through 12 quite yet, because high school is a very, it's a complex system. It has a lot of adults involved in it. It's much easier for me to get the screening into the hands of, say, a kindergarten teacher who just has the same, 25 kids all day long, versus a high school teacher who may have 140 students pass through their classroom. Okay, so scheduling becomes difficult. It's something that we're very well aware of, and we're in the process of solving.
Okay. So,
but that is the intention, is to get that K through 12.
That's great.
Out of curiosity, have you universally screened all these kids?
Yeah,
do they know they're being screened? Or?
Right, so that's a great question. So this is all passive information. It's just based upon teacher observation. So we utilize the student risk screening scale. It's a free and open source screening instrument. It's also norm reference. So we have cut points for risk. And it looks at 12 critical classes of behavior. Everything from behavioral problems, very, very general, to anxiety, depression, loneliness, withdrawal. And all a teacher does is they get their roster of students, and they simply report, how frequently do I observe this type of behavior? And that's it. So there's no individual interviewing with students. It's very, it's passive in nature. That's a great question.
Again, I'll admit that there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the school district that you can't be always aware of. And so I have been in meetings in Columbus where they're looking at student safety, and what I've told them generally is that the relationships between teachers and the students provide really a first line to address all manner of different types of crises. And I know that there are people in our legislature who are looking at doing more of this, but to know how community resources, school resources are coming together to really support kids and try to catch the kids wherever they are and move them forward, it's just, to me, it's mind-boggling how all that stuff comes together. So. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And thanks to the partnerships. I mean, that's amazing to have so much, so many people involved in helping our students. So.
Yeah, it's great. We couldn't do this alone.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's no way to do this alone. And that's when other schools call us, like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's what I tell them. You don't do it alone. we started here. This is how we've grown
right.
systems. Okay.
That's great.
Thank you. Very
thank,
thank
you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you so much.
I think it kind of transitions just about perfectly into our next presentation, which is going to be Ms. Holly Zweizig on the Youth Risk Behavior Survey.
I can't follow Mark. thank you. Again, I'm Holly Zweizig with the Mental Health and Recovery Board. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you briefly tonight. First and foremost, I want to say it's great to be back in Mill Valley. All my kids went here. Love it. It's been a while since I've been back, so thank you. And a special thank you to the district, and to thank you to our administrators at Bunsell Middle School, the Early College High School, and Marysville High School. Tonight I'm going to talk about the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, but it can't be done. Talk about that partnership in reverse. We can't do our work to get the data from the school districts to find out those data factors if we don't have that partnership with the schools, too. And I'm also going to give a shout-out to Wendy because it wouldn't happen at the high school if Wendy wasn't involved, too. So, again, all the more reason to recognize her as a fabulous staff member and a contributor to the district. Just a little background, the Youth Risk Behavior Survey data is actually in a national data set. The questions have originated from the Center for Disease Control, and has been an indicator or survey instrument that we utilize and add additional questions to, but it's been around for a long time, and it is a national measure for at-risk behaviors of adolescents primarily nationally, and we do it also statewide, and then Union County does that through the Council for Union County Families, Jason King, which was mentioned earlier, in partnership with the Union County Drug-Free Coalition and the Union County Health Department. In Union County, we do that survey of 7th, 9th, and 11th grade students, and we do that every other year, every 2 years. So it was completed last in February and March of 2018, and it was a consensus of 1,623 final students that were part of that final report. This lovely color document that you have in front of you is a dashboard, essentially a summary of the 100-plus questions that are asked of our students. Know that that survey is given electronically through SurveyMonkey. We send that out to the district to preview beforehand, and all parents have the opportunity to allow their child to opt out of taking that survey. It is done in the classroom, takes about 20 to 25 minutes, and it's done in Skip Logic. So I always get through that. So sometimes folks have a concern that students may have to answer questions that may be perhaps not age appropriate, but if the answer is zero, then they skip a whole bunch of other correlative questions that may not apply to them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in the context of this, know that questions are asked from the Center for Disease Control because they want to know everything from seat belts and vegetables and juice and breakfast all the way down to substance use and early sexual activity. So tonight, this document is encompasses the three public school districts in Union County's data. And so you have that as a reference point, what it looks like in Union County. And inside, you'll also see some of those change factors. So on the inside of this document, and anybody who's here, there's a copy over there if you want to look at that too, you're going to see some of those substances. So as the coalition representative tonight, my job is to bring forth to you some indicators that we feel are important for the county to track as it relates to the work we do for treatment and prevention and making sure our kids and families are safe. But it also is relative because we give you your documentation specific to your district and at the building level. So our work is also to make sure that we're working with your administrators and other teachers and so forth to make sure we're putting measures in place, similar to what Mark was talking about, so that we can apply best practices, evidence-based strategies related to the substance use and or other at-risk behaviors that we see specific to the district, specific to those age populations. Does that make sense? Okay. So a high point I just want to say in general for our county as well as for Marysville City, Marysville District is that our kids feel connected to their schools. And that's a protective factor that we want to see always. That has been a standard that we see in Union County and true of our school districts here too. One of the things that I also will point out is across the board in our county, we've seen a decrease in a number of substances of use. And that's fantastic over the last couple of iterations of this survey from 14 to 2018, we've seen a decrease in the number of substances. Without going into a lot of detail tonight because of limitations of time, one of the things that I want to just point out as a highlight because it tends to be a point of interest and concern for a lot of folks is what does heroin look like among our populations for our young people? I would say that heroin is always a concern for everyone, but of our reports consistently for a number of rounds, it's less than 1% of students who report lifetime use of heroin. So less than 1% of lifetime use of heroin. So a very, very small number, lower than state and national averages. Of course, a concern, we want to see that number zero always, mm-hmm. but at very low. Alcohol tends to be the number one substance of abuse. We've seen a decrease related to that. But when we talk about risk factors, we also talk about perceptions of risk and perceptions of harm and perceptions of disapproval. Mm-hmm. And across the board, what we're seeing in Marysville District and not uncommon in other districts as well, alcohol seems to be the substance that most people perceive to be less harmful and less at risk, even more so than cigarettes or even marijuana. Mm-hmm. Prescription medications are another issue that we're looking at. In the data pack that I gave you, what you're going to see that we're looking at, too, is what are kids doing related to misusing a prescription that may either be given to them from a doctor or someone else's prescription. So it's another area, a very small number, but one that we want to continue to track. Know that at-risk behavior at the high school level seems to be higher than those of seventh graders, and that's true of other substances as well. But when we look at that comparative to the different high schools, we just want to make sure that we're recognizing that factor. Another issue that's come up that we're engaged with our law enforcement and with the health department and with the districts as well is the increase in vaping. Mm-hmm. So vaping is something that we're hearing about in the districts, and we certainly are trying to raise awareness about that. Across the county, there was a 46% increase in the number of students who report vaping in the last 2 years from 2016. And the indicators within New Marysville data would show that as well, mm-hmm. a significant increase in Marysville's. Again, what are we doing to engage our parents related to that and educate them about those risks? Sexting, there's an exciting question. Mm-hmm. This is the first year that we've asked that question as well. A lot of our students have access to smartphone technology and at earlier and earlier ages. So one of the things that we recognize is the dangers to those individual students and to whom they share that information with and the recipients of that and what they can do to mitigate potential dangers to themselves and others long term, because we know that can follow them. So a significant number of students have indicated they have been requested to send a sext, and an additional number have indicated that they have already done so. So what are we doing as a district to raise awareness about that as well? Mm-hmm. One of the things I would like to point out as well is a piggyback to Mark's conversation about mental health and behavioral health concerns. One of the things that we often, of course, take very seriously is providing resources to our youth and families related to mental health. Resources. In addition to some of the things that Mark talked about as far as services, we also provide a curriculum called Signs of Suicide. It is given at the middle school level and at the high school level. It is a 2-day curriculum, an evidence-based program done in the health care classes. It talks about how to recognize someone who may be at risk, how to respond, how to appropriately get an adult for assistance, and then recognizing opportunities for self-care as well, too. So you'll see on the back page of this color document the reported use of those who indicate that they may be at risk for depression. About 23% of our students indicate higher risk for depression. We also recognize the concern for students who may engage in self-harming behaviors or who've made a plan for suicide. Your information related to that is in your Marysville document specifically, mm-hmm. but note please that is an increase that we see over time. So the older the student, the more at risk. And as Mark pointed out, high school is a challenging place for us to get in and provide boosters to that information that we provide at younger age levels. Mm-hmm. So opportunities for us to get into the classrooms or work in more, non-traditional ways with teachers, with caring adults, coaches, students, families, in order to make sure that we're reducing risk-related substances, but as well as mental health issues for our young people is really critical. I've covered a lot in a very short period of time. I know I gave Mrs. Vine the full document, all 75 slides for your leisure. So if you have additional questions related to the full document of the combined data or Marysville specific data, I'd be happy to answer those at this time.
One of my biggest concerns when I went through the data was in the sexual health. There seems to be a real trend of those that have had sex are having it very young, under 13. Mm-hmm. And 22% of those reported being forced.
That is very concerning to everyone that we present the data to. So one of the things that, having not had the opportunity to present that to you ahead of time, if you would look at that page, we're just going to do it really fast. It is, they're not numbers, so I apologize. So when you get there, it looks like this. There's one for MHS and one for early college. And Bunkle is not included in this, but you'll have it in your full information. So when you're looking at this, please note that of the 1,600 students who in Union County answer that, of course, there's a subset for each of your high schools and middle school, 15.4% of those that indicated that they've had sexual intercourse. Of those, 15.4%, 20% indicate that they've had sex before the age of 13, and 24% indicate of the 15.4. So the number gets smaller and smaller, so it's always a shift back to this first percentage point, if that makes sense.
Okay.
If you'd like to have more information about that, we'd be happy to provide it. I know that we, it's definitely on the radar for our districts as well as our health department, what we can do to provide that information. One of the first slides I didn't touch on, too, is the importance of that parent engagement. Mm-hmm. We talked about school connectivity, parent engagement. We've seen an increase in the number of students who report that their parents talk with them frequently about substance use. And as a result, related to all the other things we're doing, we've seen a decrease in the number of kids who report some of that use. We've seen a decrease in the number of kids who said their parents talk to them about sex. Mm-hmm. And we've seen an increase in the number of kids who report that. You can't draw a perfect correlation to those things, of course, but it is a concern to us that we are making sure that there's a lot of partnership in relationship to some of those at-risk behaviors. And I agree, Nia, the point about being forced, we look at those, the lifetime consequences for some of these behaviors that can result in mental health disorders, mm-hmm. substance use disorders, like ongoing mm-hmm. Problems that can last a lifetime.
Well, I did look at the information in the larger packet regarding mm-hmm. parents talking to their kids about sex, mm-hmm. and the number that said they talked to them
is very small. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, I guess we as a society need to make it a little less taboo because we're putting mm-hmm. some young people at risk by not having the discussion.
And I would always like put my, I'm going to put my asterisks out there that what a child reports that their parent talks to them about may be different than what the parent believes that they've had a conversation about. But the more we can do that, the more likely it is to settle in.
I had made a note to myself, like, I wonder what the parent's perception would be compared to the student's perception in some of those areas.
Interestingly, we asked that question last year. Yeah. We did an online survey of parents about some of these same things, so it's our intention to go back to those parents who participated in that survey, because most mm-hmm. of them are Marysville parents, to say, this is what you thought was the issue, this is what kids are reporting is the issue, and how closely are you matching that?
Right.
Before I leave tonight, too, the other thing I wanted to just as a caveat to this, methamphetamines were not part of the conversation when we put this survey together. Okay. It was not part of our survey over the past different rounds, mm-hmm. and we did not put it in time. However, as a trend for substance use within our community, within our county, mm-hmm. methamphetamines are coming back with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. So it will likely be in the next round, but it's also an indicator that we want to make sure that we're aware of because it impacts our young people and our youth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just like heroin is on our radar and has been, likewise, we should make sure that we're watching out for other trend substances that are coming into our community, and methamphetamines are definitely here.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions related to this before I close up? Lastly, I'm going to give a plug. We're grateful to have the opportunity to participate as the Drug-Free Coalition with Marysville Schools. Red Ribbon Week is coming up, of course, which is our opportunity to raise awareness about kids making healthy choices specific to substances. We've partnered with 7 local pharmacists who are going to be coming into Northwood and Navin to do classroom presentations on medication safety and talking about the role of pharmacists in keeping youth and families safe. So thank you for allowing that to happen, and we hope to continue that partnership in the future, too.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing this. It's great information. Well, not great information, but helpful, right? I just think about how, like at football games, you know, we make a lot of announcements about drugs and everything, but clearly it might help to make some announcements about talking about sex, too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, somehow, however you want to do that, but yeah. Okay. We are up to public participation, and okay, yeah, that was all. Holly already spoke to us, and so we have Mr. Jared Weiss on here. Jared, I think we've seen you before. Welcome again.
Thank you.
You know the spiel, right?
I do.
Okay.
My address, right? my address is 17919 Bear Swamp Road. Just give a quick update on the levy. First thing I want to say was you see this information, and this is one of the reasons why people like me and others support the levy in the schools, because we know that that connection to the school is what helps us when it comes to these kind of things. So, that is exactly why this committee and everyone supporting the levy, that's why it's there, so we can make sure the school continues, the school district continues to get the funding and the resources it needs to work on things like this and with the community partners. We're down to the end here. We've got a little less than 3 weeks, about 2.5 before Election Day, and things have been going very well. They've been going very quick, and it's very busy right now. We've sent out flyers, mailers to 10,000, every household in the district. We've been knocking on doors, 3,500. We've done that once. We're going to do that again. We've been in the parade. We've been at sort of, I think, every community event there is that we can find a way to be at, and wear the shirt. You know, the shirts came in, and people are just wear. I saw them out today. I saw 3 or 4 people at different points during the day today with a shirt on somewhere. So it's really ramping up. It's really going well. We're hearing a lot of good things. That there are now questions because of the way the ballot language was, etc. Mm-hmm. Now the people are seeing it, but once we explain that, I think it clears it up pretty easy. So things are going really well. I need to thank the entire committee. We've got some really committed volunteers that are doing a lot of work, spending a lot of time working on this campaign. So we appreciate all the work they're doing. So it's going well. We've got just a couple weeks left, so if you have any questions or not, but we just want to give you an update.
Awesome. Any questions?
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I would thank you too. You put a lot of time in.
Enormous amount of time.
How much people recognize that the, you know, my 2 a.m. thoughts that I hit you with at 5:30 in the morning to.
Luckily, I'm up at 5:30 in the morning.
But then you're up late too, so yeah.
And like I've said before, I've got 4 kids, and I will have about 2 decades of students in the district. So.
You've done a great job with social media and marketing, and certainly appreciate your leadership on behalf of our
kids. Social media has been our big thing. I mean, that's. Yeah. You know, the way just to get the positive message about all the things that the school district is doing. A lot of people don't know that stuff, or they know what's going on at their child's school, but not everywhere else. And so we've just done everything we can to make sure everybody knows all the great things going on. So we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Don't forget to vote, right?
I think it's
do it again. You clap while you want. That's fine.
your co-chair, Chris Schmidt,
is
also...
Without Chris, it would have been a lot more difficult. You know, that's
absolutely. Getting the program, the information that we've gotten tonight, and the 3 presentations we have, really, all of those presentations are interconnected. In terms of trying to build kids and trying to get that positive message out, and good things are happening in Marysville schools is what you've been working very hard to.
Try.
Again, thank you.
A lot of people do. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, it's time for the Ohio High Point Report and Mr. Chivington. Hi there.
In September, we had our parent teacher conference. Along with that, we actually had a college and career readiness for parents. So it's kind of a well-attended event, but something that was kind of new for us. Tana Cooper is working very hard on internships this fall. We have 21 students actually interning. Also, here in the Marysville area, I believe we've had 9 additional organizations sign up for internships. Some of them I know you'll know. Bob Chapman Ford, the City of Marysville Engineering Department. Of course, Marysville is in the school district, the hospital, Timberview Golf Club and Union Rural Electric. So some very significant organizations that are accepting Marysville entrants. Last night we had our work session. Next week we have our board meeting. And then we've got the National FMA Convention going where some Marysville students will be attending. So other than that, that's the update.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Next up, superintendent's report.
See
if you can get through this. I know.
Dying over here. So, I wanted to follow up. Just you know, there was I just wanted to give you some information about class size at the high school to create some clarity around every class is at 30 and et cetera. That's absolutely not the case, as I told you last meeting.
Right.
We did have some high school English classes that were above 30. The long-term sub that's an English certified teacher started last week. And the goal would be to team teach because those teachers are already with that teacher for the remainder of the semester and then split the kids at semester time. And then the rest of that teacher's day will be spent doing interventions with kids in various areas of need. But even before that person was hired, the average class size in all English classes came out to 26 students. The average class size in social studies was 23. Thank you. The average class size in math was 25. And the average class size in science is 23. So I think there was a little perception given that, you know, our classes were all at 30 or above, and that's not the case. So I just wanted to make sure I got that information to you. I wanted to just hit on homecoming. I thought the week was great. We were able to avoid the rain at the parade, not at the game, unfortunately, but I thought everyone did a great job, and certainly there was a great showing from our community, regardless of the rain or the ugly sky, so it's always impressive for that to happen. Dance went well, and et cetera. Jared gave you a levy update. I would just tell you the district also sent a mailer or sending a mailer that will go early next week, if not starting tomorrow. And I think Todd's going to hit on one side of that mailer to kind of talk about the tax effort of our community. But the other side is basically the information we've already been handing out, but it's more in an infographic form. So it's kind of just a visual. And on the back it has what Todd's going to share in a little bit. So that's going out from the district this week as well. And those go to every household in our school district, whether you have parent or students in the district or not. So that is going out from the school district side as well. I also asked Jonathan to give a quick stadium update as far as progress with Bunzel. The weather has not been on our side. So, you can go ahead.
Just a real quick update. Currently out at the Bunzel facility, the earthwork is done. The facility is degraded, besides some basic touch-ups and et cetera. The retention pond has already been regraded and set. So, underground electric has totally been run. Okay. The underground water has been installed. In progress is stormwater work with underground structures for drainage, as well as some sanitary work going on right now. Looking to the future, the curb and stone, we hope to have take place late next week or early following week, followed by paving picking up the week of the 29th or late that week of October 29th. It's massive. So, just a real quick update.
Thank you.
Okay.
For the high school project, we're currently wrapping up estimates and hope to put a package together within the next day or two. So we're on a pretty tight timeline in order to be where we need to be for graduation. So we are wrapping up kind of the loose final decisions with that. So
okay.
I would say it'd be honestly a day or two.
Before they go out to bid?
Correct.
And then, is it like a standard time when you send that out to bid?
We'll have everything complete before the next board meeting.
Okay. I just didn't know if we needed to try and schedule anything soon, you know, before the next board meeting.
No, we had it timelined out this time. So.
Okay, good.
I think it's just maybe 2 days before the board meeting. Two or three. It's the same week.
Okay.
So.
Good.
Sorry for my coughing.
Okay. That's it?
That's all I have.
Okay. Todd, Treasurer's Report.
Well, I will be brief since we've given the first reading last month and there's no changes to the forecast. But, you know, the most immediate, risk to the assumptions would be the levy. So I'll just point to a couple of facts along those lines. And this slide here, the green line towards the bottom, that shows our ending cash balance, and this shows that what that balance looks like in the absence of the renewal levy. So you can see there in 2022, we'd be looking at a deficit of over about $10.5 million without that levy. So, you know, that obviously is the most immediate risk to the forecast. Assuming that the levy is passed, looking at the orange dotted line there, and instead of a $10.5 million deficit, you know, we'd be looking at a slight positive, just under $1 million in the black if that were to pass. And again, we always like to mention 2008 was our last new money levy. So we're already at a decade. This is not a new money levy. This is a renewal. One of the things I just put out a video to talk about the no new millage permanent improvement levy. Technically, that is a new money levy, but because our bond millage is going to be reduced by an equivalent amount, there's actually no increase in tax rate. There's no new millage. It's just going to be new millage in the permanent improvement fund while the bond fund goes down. So if this levy were to pass, we would be looking at almost 15 years when we'd be looking at our next new money levy and when the last one was in 2008. So as Diane mentioned, I'll pass these out.
I put together a...
just ran some numbers just to compare, basically what the local tax effort is. When you talk about local tax effort, you know, obviously we get state money, but when you talk about local tax effort, that's what our community is kicking in terms of property taxes. With some districts, they're kicking in with property taxes as well as income tax. I put it up here. I wanted to hand it out because I figured it's going to be pretty hard to look at up there. What can I say about this graph? And as you look at it, it really speaks for itself. This really hits you as far as the value that you're getting, that the community is getting for the school, because this is all Central Ohio schools, all Franklin County, all Union County, all Delaware County. 25 schools in total, and we're the second lowest local tax effort of all the schools. You look at the only school above us, meaning that has a lower tax effort, they don't have nearly the report card grades that we do. We're one of only six schools to receive an A in that progress component of the report card, which is measuring the growth that our students are making from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So obviously one of the most important components of that. It really hits you that the low tax effort that there is for such a strong result, the academic results that we're getting.
This is per $100,000, right?
Yeah. So the property tax is based on per $100,000 of value, okay, where the income tax is based on per $50,000 of income.
And is, I just want to make sure I understand this. If the levy passes, this graph is not,
it
it's not going to change.
Correct. Right.
Wow, that's impressive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
and that's what's going out to the entire community. It's on the back side of a flyer.
That is
okay,
awesome.
Okay.
I think that clearly states there, right there. I mean, that's, yeah, that's very simple for people to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great information.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Any questions on the five-year forecast either? Kind of last chance for, no, not last chance for a question, but, you know, whatever. You always have, you always have an opportunity, yeah.
I would say that the Finance Committee met,
yes,
and reviewed the five-year forecast, and that's made up of people in the community. I think the majority of them have at least some background or strong interest in school finance, and they felt,
right,
like that it was very appropriate, addressed all the issues,
right,
and they had no concerns.
Yeah. And I think all of those have served several years on that committee as well.
Hey, Todd, yeah, will this be on there too?
Yes.
Yeah,
the
all that, yeah.
Yes.
It looks a little bit different. We had it jazzed up a little bit,
right,
but it's the same information.
Yeah. I like, because it's just so simple.
Mm-hmm.
That,
mm-hmm, right.
People don't even,
yeah,
have
it really
to
jumps out at you, doesn't it?
Figure it out.
Right.
It's right there.
Right.
Yeah, and you've got districts in here that are well known and,
yes,
well respected. You know, with really great reputations.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, right.
I think it's really good information.
All right. Okay, my report, we had, and I'm sorry, I didn't send out an email yet, but we did have a community copy this last Saturday. Mr. Smith and I covered it, and we had one person show up. She had some concerns about a bus route from Bunsold ultimately ending up at Raymond, and so I did share some of those concerns with Diane, and she's in the process of gathering some information and asking some questions herself. It's just nice. We're there at the Fifth Street Cafe, and I don't know, we saw several other people, some that we knew, some that we didn't know we knew, but found out that they were, you know, graduates of Marysville. Some of them, I think you might have taught a couple,
yeah,
of them. And then we also,
yeah,
saw Adrian Green, who was at a coffee a couple years ago, and she's now, her kids are still not in the district, but she had a neighbor who suggested she attend a coffee to find out about our district. And as a result of that, she is serving on the, I think, the like the strategic
committee. Finance committee.
Oh, the finance committee of our stadium project. Mm-hmm. So again, these coffees, I think, are just a great way to connect with people. And,
right, and even though we don't get a large number of people, we're able to have a nice conversation.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think we have, and I wouldn't say we as board members have resolved some of the issues and problems, but I think the superintendent and the administrators and staff, all the people involved in the district have been able to respond to the concerns and have been able to address them.
Mm-hmm. Which reminds me, you want the update on the last community copy?
Oh, yes.
Yes, about Navin and the sign.
So the flashing sign request at Navin, and basically I think the person had talked to someone on city council, et cetera, but it does appear that that is on the city's budget for the spring, so we would anticipate, if all things go well, that we'd be able to install the flashing sign on Home Road in front of the elementary school to help service with, you know, we don't only benefit, but certainly the fire station and surrounding area as well.
Right. So it's good. We appreciate, you know, people bring those concerns to us, and we can point them in the right direction, and that's a great example of something getting taken care of. So this last month, all sorts of things went on. The Hispanic cultural event, Nan and I attended that. And it was really, this year they asked their students to research different cities and create presentation boards. they did a great job. There was so much information there. There was great food. Naven had their first space night, and we had heard about that from the lady who had come to our community coffee, Kat Patrick, who's a Good Apple Award winner. She coordinated this first ever space night, and they actually had astronaut Don Thomas there. He spoke for about 45 minutes, signed autographs. They had people from the Columbus Astrological Society there with some free handouts, great pictures and information. Raymond had their fall festival. So just a lot of great things going on. And then something else I wanted to just bring up to you all is I'm the student achievement liaison with Ohio School Boards Association, and so every month I get an email from Kim Miller Smith. I think some of you know her. She's like she used to be Central Region something, and now she is the senior student achievement consultant with OSBA. And so she's been working on a new page on OSBA's website, and I'm going to send you that link to the page. But it's all about advancing student achievement and the role of a school board in that process. And so I just thought there was some really useful information about community engagement. There's like some a couple of questionnaires. Yeah, community engagement discussion questions and then community engagement action steps. And I was thinking it might be an idea to have maybe a work session early next year, maybe around the time when we do our second building visits, maybe right after that, we can kind of combine a work session to talk about the building visits and have these discussions about community engagement and, you know, what kinds of things are we doing that we think are really good? Where are some areas that we think we could improve in? Because, you know, I think when we've been out there with the levy, sometimes you'll hear those comments of, you know, well, levy is our way to keep you in line, or you kind of get a sense that there's a lack of trust maybe with somebody. And so I think that community engagement is one way to minimize that, to really try and get people to understand what's happening in our district and make them feel better about the decisions that we're making and the decisions that are going on every day and how, you know, what a great job we're doing. And, you know, clearly when they see stuff like this, that's a big help, and that's a big part of that community engagement, you know, having great information and making sure that everybody has access to it. But anyways, I'll send you that link. You can take a look at it because I think there's some really good questions in there. And then finally, the upcoming events, Bunsold Career Day is October 22nd coming up. And then I don't know if you all got this email or not, but there's Cup Patterson Regional Funding Meetings, where they are talking about, they've had a group that's reviewing the state's methods for determining its educational resources and distribution. Are you familiar with this, Todd?
I'm not.
Okay, well, they're having meetings, free meetings, and it's the one in our area is Friday, November 2nd from 10 until 12. But again, they think they're just trying to get information from people about school funding. Mm-hmm. So I'll share this with everybody, too, in case somebody's available and can go. Capital Conference, I think we're all, hopefully we can all, everyone who's able can attend some of that. And then I know Nan and I are going to go to the Economic Development on December 7th. I don't know if anybody else is able to attend that. But
what was the conference?
Okay, yeah.
What was the conference dates again?
The Capital Conference, November 11th to the 13th.
Right, okay.
Okay, and that's it for me. Legislative report.
On Wednesday, October 10th, Nan and I met with OSBA lobbyist Jay Smith. I asked Jay to join me and Nan here and to talk about the upcoming lame duck session. There's a short window after the election in the end of the year in which some things could happen. And in general, there's going to be a new governor. There's going to be new leadership in the House of Representatives. And so the expectations are very low in terms of legislation moving forward. There's mm-hmm. some possibilities. I sent out, hopefully you received an email that goes through some of the bills. I think most of the bills that are talked about, things like school calendar and the consolidation of things that we've talked about before, House Bill 200 that would increase the voucher program. I've testified before the legislature in opposition to that. We did talk about it. He provided us with some information about House Bill 591 that was proposed by Representative Duffy after he consulted with the Ohio School Board Association and other statewide educational organizations. And this legislation would address the state report card. And recommendations in this would eliminate the letter grades for districts and replace letter grades with raw numbers. So instead of an A or a B, you get 20% or 50% or 90% or, you know, some basic numbers from which you can determine some success, you know, whether you think the district is going well or not. I know the I talked briefly one night with the president of the Columbus School Board, and one of his frustrations was that they get an F, but they made, I think they improved like 15%, but they didn't hit the passing threshold. So their grade from, you know, one year to the next looks the same, even though there is significant progress. And so raw numbers, they would be able to see, we, you know, last year we were here, which wasn't good, and we're here, which is better, but still not where we need to be able, and so forth. So anyway, that eliminate the composite grade for the district, make some changes in terms of the graduation, how the graduation rate is calculated, replace the way in which student growth is measured to try to come up with something that can be validated and replicated. Replace the third grade reading with a measure not of the struggling students but of the students that are meeting the standard, and provide school districts with tools of comparison so you can look and see. It's based on instead of a district ranking, it would give you a percentile ranking and say you're in this percentile in comparison to the state or other schools of similar size and finance and so forth. There are a lot of issues with the report card, and I know that OSBA has worked and feels that this is an improvement. Whether something will happen between now and the end of the year on this, I don't know. Jay, in the information he gave us, pointed out that the State Board of Education voted to extend the 2018 additional pathway extensions to graduates, but that the state legislature has not acted on that. And that as of right now, the students have a limited number of ways of meeting that standard. And we have, I know we have students who are working very hard. Fingers crossed, all of our students will meet whatever standards the state decides. But I know other school districts are really troubled by this. So there may be something there. Okay.
We'd like to think there would be, since it's October 20th almost.
Do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. Thank you both. Okay, and Safety and Drug Committee report?
Well, most of mine was done by Holly, okay, but I do want to reiterate, and Jonathan and I both, we brought this up, that we really need to keep on the pressure of the vaping. This is something that I don't even think the parents are educated enough to know that this is probably even worse than the cigarette smoking. And I've had people come in my office that are buying stuff from these vape shops, and are actually testing positive for THC and stuff. So you really don't, I don't even think these kids think about that. They go in and these flavors and all of that. So Jonathan brought up to really pushing it when we were at our meeting Tuesday about getting our signage and, you know, the education part of that, because that seems like the big trend right now. Yeah. And as Holly said, the methamphetamines, I'm battling a lot of that in my job right now because they've addressed a lot of the opiate problem. So now the methamphetamine is coming back. But the greatest thing, I think, is looking at this report, you will see that a lot of the trends are going down.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Even the marijuana, even though that little sign is up, it should be down. That use is down. So I'm really thrilled with seeing this because I see the trends changing from what they were. So I'm excited with that.
What did you mean when you said the opioids are on the ground?
They're being addressed. A lot of information, parents are getting information, doctors are now being limited to what they can give kids when they go in and get hurt. So Ohio is addressing the opioid issue. But so now we're seeing other trends come back in, like methamphetamines, cocaine, marijuana, that kind of thing. But our marijuana stats are down, so that's a good thing.
Good.
You know,
it is.
So we just kind of need to stay on the trend of watching for the meth.
Is that meth that you're seeing more adults or youth?
I work with the adults, but we will see it coming into the youth because, as you see, when the adults, you know, when the kids go to some of these people, just like who give them the cigarettes or give them the alcohol, get the meth. Okay, so we just need to be on top of it and know that this is a trend that is starting to come back. And you know, they have those one pot shakes where they take plastic bottles, and you know, you got to be careful picking up that kind of stuff. Just need to educate. That's all.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right, next, I need a motion to approve minutes from our from last month's meeting.
Move.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any questions, corrections, comments? Nope. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. next, I need a motion to approve the resolution to update the plan of the Ohio High Point Vocational School District Board of Education.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Comments? Questions?
This resolution, as I understand it, is because we've had a couple of mergers between county ESCs, and to make sure that the representation at High Point is correct.
Yes. I think we reflected in their plan.
Yeah, they had not updated. The auditor had given them feedback. I don't remember what year it was, but it was time they get realigned. So this is our part in that process.
Okay. Then roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would entertain a motion to approve Richard Smith to go to Washington, D.C. January 27th, 29th for the NSBA Advocacy Institute.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Luke. Obviously, I know he went last year. Was that the first time that you had?
No, this would be the third.
This would be the third time. Okay. Okay.
And I know we try to have our voice heard at the state level, and I think it's nice to be able to meet our state senators and our state representative, our congressional representative, and be able to talk to them in part about what's going on in Marysville and how that connects to some of the national
Okay, great. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to do that. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay. Thank you again for doing that.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, I need a motion to, or I would like a motion to approve the treasure items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage.
Two things I'd point out in there. We've got a couple of donations to the stadium projects. Thank the people who are donating for that. And the other big item in there, we're increasing appropriations by $200,000, and that's for our 21st Century grant, which was received this year, which is our basically funds our base program.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
So the funding for the base program, is that just 1 year?
It's a five-year funding.
It is 5 years, okay.
Yep.
And is it starts out higher the first year and then goes down every year?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it does go down.
Okay. And you're kind of, like, that's kind of being whatever.
Yes.
Reworked.
Yes. As soon as things kind of get evened out, we'll have them come in and talk about. They just met again this week, so.
Okay. Great. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next, I would entertain a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers.
Kind of the normal things. When a recognized Jean Karen's there from Mill Valley for retirement for the end of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
She's been with the district some time. I think she's been at Creekview and Edgewood.
The middle school, too. She was my daughter. Yes, yeah, taught my daughter at middle school.
So certainly she's touched a lot of lives here in Marysville. So wish her the best in retirement. We have supplementals on this time. Several first read policies. If you have any questions, I know a couple of you reached out to me lately and asked some questions. We also have our public library board members on that section.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any questions, we also have overnight trips, volunteers.
Reading the policies is interesting. I was in attendance at our policy review meeting.
How long was that meeting?
Well, we got out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to leave a little early.
Okay.
But I know that, every single one of these policies got
discussed.
A thoughtful vetting.
Uh-huh.
Policy JGD and JDGA, suspensions and expulsions, and those are being updated to bring them in line with recent changes. The governor just signed a new law in this summer, and so this brings us into compliance there. Something that is becoming prevalent, GBI deals with crowdfunding by teachers and provides some guidance in terms of teachers using online funding methods for various projects and so forth. And I know that there's the treasurer gets some additional responsibilities and loses. One, he doesn't get reports on suspensions.
Is that GBI from the state, or was it from the district?
That one, I think, was in response to state.
Just updates. It was either House Bill 216 or House Bill 3.
Yeah. There was some legislation that touched on that.
Okay.
Almost everything in the policy is being driven by changes. It's pretty typical. It all gets changed because of law changes. But one thing I would point out is that we look at the law and then we look at our district and make decisions that we think, based on recommendations from legal counsel and so forth, will put us in compliance with the law, but also are reflective of our community. And so, I think, is that a fair statement, Ms. Whitehouse?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I just had a quick question on the new policy on online fundraising. What about people that are already like in process before this policy has been implemented?
So also remember that this policy won't be effective till after your vote in November. So if it's something that's already happened prior or completed prior, then there is no policy to speak to it.
Okay.
I wouldn't, we get this policy development quarterly. And so today actually, when we got this one, look at all of those, and I went through and I'm like, yep, we've addressed everyone on there that we needed to address.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
You know, I think it's important for the other board members to know that the administrative staff that goes over these looks not only at what the state requires, but what they believe is best for our school district. And so there is a local component to our policies.
Yeah. And I like, the fact that we are given some notes that kind of give us that high level, kind of the bullet points, the important things for each one. So appreciate all the time that you spent in there. But obviously this is our first read, so we'd be voting on these next month. So, if you have any questions in the meantime, they can just reach out to Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. You can get a detailed explanation.
That's
Jonathan.
Right. let's see. And I do want to, since our library director is so nice to come and be here for the meeting, I would want to just kind of make a comment there that it is Elizabeth Yendrick is on our agenda right now. She's going to be filling an unexpired library board term, I think the last 2 years, you said. And then Perry Parsons, who had previously been appointed to or approved to fill an unexpired term, is now agreed to serve a full term, and their terms are 7 years. Just so you know, that's a big commitment for them. So I just wanted to make sure their names were on the record.
There's one other thing I wanted to just mention. One of the recommendations before us is to approve a purchase agreement with META, which is a Metropolitan Educational Council. And this, I think, has been a significant money saver for our district.
Yeah.
We're going to gather with other school districts and buying natural gas at very low cost compared to what we would receive as a price if we went separately and independently out to try and purchase.
And I would also just have to say just another comment about Jean Karras, because she was she's been a great asset to this district. Like you said, she's touched so many different students, but she's a good one. She knows personalized learning, I can tell you that.
She knows kids.
So yep, she does. So, okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now, Mr. Smith, any questions or comments?
Yeah, I was, just so the administrators know, I actually read all the notes that come with the agenda, and I wanted to point out just the high school and early college, how at the high school they've gotten some walkthrough format where they're going to have a group that goes through the building and is looking at what's going on in the classrooms and giving some feedback to the teachers. And that they're also looking at different pathways for the 19-20 school year. So not only are they addressing all the things now, but they're looking forward. Tri-Academy, Tri-Academy. I thought it was really great. They gave two teacher narratives on advancement and mastery in their classroom. And if you haven't read that, it was really very interesting and very enlightening. And Raymond has conducted all their safety drills, evacuating of the building and kind of reinforcing ALICE training, and that was again brought to mind when the other day CBS was in Ohio and was broadcasting from a elementary fourth grade classroom that was practicing their ALICE training. They had some mm-hmm. parents there and so forth and talked about student safety and so forth. So that I know the buildings, all of our buildings are doing that. Mm-hmm. Safety is our first mm-hmm. priority. So, but I do read the report. So.
I'm sure they appreciate that. Is that it for you? Okay.
That's it.
Ms. Savage.
Thank you, Mill Valley, for hosting. Very much appreciate it. Thank you for everything that the library does. Mm-hmm. You provided wonderful programming. Recently in the library and surprised by the huge number of books, being able to check out books electronically. Mm-hmm. There was active children's programs going on. Love is there, so it's a wonderful resource. Plus, I love your outdoor seating area. Just waiting for the weather to get warm. thank you to Holly for the report on youth risk behavior. I think it's great information for all parents to mm-hmm. review, and parents should be aware of what's going on in our community and mm-hmm. talk to your children, please. Mm-hmm.
My children are grown.
You still need to talk to them.
Yeah. So you got to talk to them. The next time
I kind of blew my chance at that. Sorry.
I want to give a shout out. Thank you for hosting us to our community
yes.
for mm-hmm. The parade and mm-hmm. the bonfire. Mm-hmm. It seemed like old times again when my boys were in school mm-hmm. in football, and it was absolutely fabulous. Everybody did a wonderful job, mm-hmm. and from the coach to all the way to Tom to Diane, the mm-hmm. whole community you could see was, it just thrilled my heart to see all those mm-hmm. kids and the parents and the stands filled up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, I cover most of the sports because with 11 grandkids, I don't have right. a choice. So that's my big thing is you'll see me at this
right.
event. So I just thought it was really fantastic that such a community rally mm-hmm. behind our schools. So
yep.
shout out. Really, that was awesome.
Mr. Lee?
Well, we've had a number of presentations on personal learning, and it's always really great to learn, and we've seen it in the schools too when we visited. But what touched me today was the image of the teachers having these interviews, as you called them, with the kindergartners and first graders to help them learn how to be self-aware about their own learning styles, mm-hmm. and just the difference between that and what we went through as kids. Mm-hmm. There was no issue of our learning styles,
right?
But I was thinking about the future and how it's just not possible anymore to go to high school and then you're set for life.
Right.
Things are changing right. too quick, too much. You've got to be lifelong learners. And by going mm-hmm. through this, I think it really is going to help those kids in their adulthood. So thank you for that. And then for Mr. Gallagher, mm-hmm. I was so happy to hear about everything that's going on in the district with mental health mm-hmm. and behavior. I know from many different sources, you know, educating children means we have to be addressing those needs as best right. we can. I didn't know that much was going on, but it's really, really good to hear. So thank you.
And, you know, one more thing I'd like to say is, and also I want to thank you because in the job that I do, I think by catching these kids young, that they may not reach the level that I'm dealing with as the adult generation, so that we have currently. So,
nothing to add.
I would just like to remind everyone that November 6th is a pretty important date for us, mm-hmm. and that if you have not voted, you have the opportunity to do so every day except Sunday from here on out, and even one Sunday is included in that list. So we've made early voting push. I would encourage you to go. There's no lines. Mm-hmm. But at least get there by November 6th. Yeah, that's my reminder to everyone.
A great reminder.
Yes.
I know. Good. So I would also like to thank Ms. Savage. Excellent presentation. Mr. Gallagher, you know, ditto what Brian says. I know how concerned or how interested all of us are in making sure that, you know, we're providing as many resources as we can, and just hearing about those partnerships, that's, you know, that doesn't happen on its own either. So appreciate the work that everybody's doing there. And good luck for the library. We'll be on the ballot as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll be sending you good vibes. Our next community coffee will be November 10th. And Mr. Smith, I just had to laugh because I thought the board notes were just exemplary this month, and noted that at the STEM school, they commented about how their student council, they're seeing 100 plus students attend each of their meetings so far. So that's some engagement, I think. Also notice how Mill Valley and Raymond were adding pictures to their board notes. So I love that. So again, I know I've said it before, but anybody out there who's listening or anybody at the meeting here, those board notes are public. If you go to Board Docs, anybody can access them, and I cannot encourage you enough to take a look and read through what's happening at every single building. Because there's just an amazing amount of work going on, and you can really sense that focus, that, you know, that everybody's going the same direction, and it's just really impressive. So great job, great leadership, because it has to start somewhere, and
we have a good team.
So one other, let's see, public records training at Capitol Conference Tuesday, 8:30 to 11:45. I think you are our designee, so you're planning to attend that?
I do that online.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Dragon Lanes fundraiser, our bowling team, they're doing a fundraiser at 6 o'clock on Saturday. I think it's Saturday, November 3rd at the new, it's called Dragon Lanes, not Marysville Lanes anymore.
Okay.
But it's $30 per team. I think it's a male and a female. But they're also going to have some silent auction and raffle things, so you don't have to bowl. But if you want to go there and just support the bowling team, you could do that. And don't forget to vote. So now, how about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers. Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?